Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Of course, you can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Thanks so much for being here. Of course, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. We always appreciate that a ton. It means the world. We've got a lot to get into today. We're going to be primarily talking about Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, two names that might not be quite household names like Myles Garrett or like Devontae Adams, Khalil Mack, you know, some of these big names that we've talked about so far. But make no mistake about it, both of these players would be pretty massive free agent signings and might be a little bit more in that realm of what Green Bay potentially would like to look at as they get into this free agency period. So we will get to these two Philadelphia Eagles that we're going to get a chance to see watch play this weekend, of course. Two players you might want to just keep an extra eye on. Let me just give a quick aside there. If you're not maybe super excited about Eagles-Chiefs this weekend and you're like, I don't really care about the game that much, these are two players that you can keep an extra eye on because they are big-time free agents, and they both could be of interest to Green Bay. So if you don't like the storylines in the game, if you don't know who to cheer for, you're just cheering for Kendrick Lamar at halftime, well, here are two players to keep an extra eye on this upcoming Sunday in the Super Bowl. It maybe gives you a little bit more motivation to watch the game or something at least to keep an extra eye on as you're going through it when Patrick Mahomes is on offense. So that's something to kind of look forward to. But before we get to both of these stud defensive players for Philly, quick shout out to Mason Crosby, who officially retired on Tuesday, and what a career that he had in Green Bay. He is a surefire Packers Hall of Famer, had a 17-year NFL career, Super Bowl champion, Packers all-time leading scorer, 11th all-time in the NFL history in points scored. The 11th highest scoring player in NFL history is Mason Crosby. 1,918 Packers points, 864 more than second place Ryan Longwell, 395 field goals made, 169 more than second place in Packers history Ryan Longwell. He has the NFL record for most consecutive postseason field goals with 20, and he made 101 out of 105 of his postseason kicks in his career. An unbelievable Green Bay Packer. Had that little stint with the New York Giants, not last season, but the year before. And of course, will retire a member of the Green Bay Packers. As I mentioned, surefire Packers Hall of Famer and one of the consummate professionals, carrier of the G, my favorite all-time Mason Crosby moment, that Dallas Cowboy playoff game, you know, Jared Cook from Aaron Rodgers along the sidelines, and then Mason Crosby drills, I want to say 50, 51 yarder right around that range and, you know, pays off that huge play. You know, when we talk about, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, the double Hail Mary sort of play, it always has a little bit of a disappointment to it because they weren't able to finish it off with a win. That unbelievable Rodgers to Jared Cook play falls flat, and we probably don't talk about it or maybe think about it quite as much if Mason Crosby doesn't pay that off with a made field goal and a win. And that's exactly what he did. But congratulations, a absolutely unbelievable career. A worthy retirement. And I know Mason, of course, right now on the Mason Crosby Show on The Fan, which is, of course, the Packaday radio show as well. I lead into it 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on The Fan for me in Milwaukee, the Packaday radio show. And then right there from 9 until 11 with the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis as well. It's been fun to kind of get to know Mason a little bit better, hop on his show from time to time. I'm going to be actually hosting the Mason Crosby Show coming up in a couple weeks here. So it's been really cool to kind of get to know him better. Awesome, awesome dude. Check him out on the radio, of course, but congratulations, Mason, on the unbelievable career. Also, we've got Sean Duggan, new linebackers coach, of course, in classic Green Bay fashion. They have not themselves announced any of the changes in the coaching staff as of yet, but this has been one that was reported by Tom Silverstein right away when before even Campanelli got the job. When Campanelli was interviewing, Silverstein was all over it saying, if he does get the job, the expectation is that Duggan will be the new linebackers coach in Green Bay. Then he reported it again after the fact. There were some other reports out there, but now even Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, amongst others, have said as well that Dugan will be the linebackers coach. We've gone over him a little bit, has been with Jeff Hafley since his Ohio State days, and is, you know, was, I should say, a co-defensive coordinator at Boston College. Green Bay very lucky to get him as a defensive assistant, not even a linebackers coach or anything like a positional coach, just a defensive assistant this past year. Now he gets that promotion to linebackers coach. Well-deserved. And again, kudos to Green Bay for really stocking the cupboard with all these great coaches that they were able to call up, like a Sean Mannion and like a Sean Dugan as well. Nice job by them. Hopefully he can come in and replace Anthony Campanelli. No easy task, but he's going to get the opportunity to do so. And hopefully the big thing here is that, you know, progression of Edgerrin Cooper continues, and hopefully they can kind of continue to unlock Quay Walker and Tyron Hopper for that matter along the way as well. That is your news and notes for the day. With that, let's get right into our breakdowns of Josh Sweat and Milton Williams. As mentioned, you'll get the opportunity to watch him in the Super Bowl this upcoming Sunday. Josh Sweat is PFF's 10th highest rated free agent coming into the offseason. Milton Williams is PFF's 32nd ranked free agent coming into the offseason. Both have been incredibly instrumental in Philadelphia's defensive success. They're not the only ones, of course. That defensive line is stacked. That defense is stacked. They have a very good and talented defense overall. But make no mistake, Sweat and Williams are two very talented players that are a part of it, excuse me. Why would Green Bay be interested? Why would Green Bay have interest in either of these players? Well, the very clear and obvious answer is pressure. Green Bay, at times, probably more than that, probably through multiple stretches of the season, were lacking in consistent pass rush. Something that they just needed a little bit more juice, I think a little bit more talent. A lot of guys did not live up to expectations. DeMarcus Covington will have the opportunity to unlock that room. LVN has not come along as expected. Devontae Wyatt has been fine, good, nowhere near bad, but not the impact player I think anyone hoped he would be when they drafted him in the first round, and has been injured and not always in the game either. And he's not a great run defender. So there's just a limited sort of upside right there. And he was a 24-year-old rookie when they drafted him. So I would say arguably he has still not lived up to expectations, but he's a good, solid player. Rashawn Gary has taken a little bit of a step back these past couple seasons, has not been the consistent pass rushing presence that even he was prior to the ACL injury. This is a group that was very disappointing. TJ Slayton's a free agent. Not that that affects the pass rush in any real way, but that's another player that they're now going to have to figure out if they want to bring back or not. Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, they did not take a substantial step. Neither did Kingsley Enagbare. In fact, I think Enagbare is low-key one of the more disappointing players from 2024. Brenton Cox took a step up, but I'm not sure how much you're going to put stock into just that. Like that can be the thing that kind of gets you over the hump as a pass rush team next year. I think that would be a stretch. So you need a little bit more something here, whether that's a defensive tackle or a defensive end. I think you can go either direction, but you would love to see a bit more pass rush presence from that defensive front. And both Josh Sweat and Milt Williams have the ability to bring that pass rush presence. Let's start with Josh Sweat. This past year, he had 59 pressures. He had 70 in 2023. He has 180 pressures over his last three seasons combined. So 60 per season. 31 sacks per PFF over the last 3 years. So 10 sacks per year over 3 years. Sweat was 20th in total pressures last season, ahead of TJ Watt, who was 21st, ahead of Max Crosby, who was 26th, ahead of Khalil Mack, who was 29th. And then Rashawn Gary was also at 33rd on that list. Josh Sweat was ahead of all those guys when it came to total pressures. He was 15th in 2023 when he had 70 pressures. So you're talking about a top 20 pressure defensive end in all of football for really the past couple seasons plus now. He's that type of dude as a pass rusher. Milton Williams, meanwhile, he had 50 pressures as an interior defensive lineman this past year, 6 sacks, a 91.0 pass rush grade by PFF. That is the second highest pass rush grade for an interior defender behind only Chris Jones, who had a 91.6. They basically graded him as a pass rusher neck and neck with the best interior pass rushing defensive tackle in football in Chris Jones. That should tell you something. 50 total pressures would have put him 13th for all defensive tackles this past year. Just to give you an idea, with 50 pressures for Milton Williams, Kenny Clark was at was 33rd with 34 pressures. Devontae Wyatt had 32 pressures. So he, you know, significantly outpaced both Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt when it came to total pressures. And what I would say watching this tape, and what PFF is clearly saying here as well, is there is a lot more meat on that bone. He is just starting to scratch the surface of who he can be as a pass rusher. And I do think there is legitimate truth to that. Josh Sweat, going back to him for a moment, he will turn 28 in March. So he's just about to turn 28 years old. His expected salary, 3 years, $18 million, $32.5 million guaranteed, $54 million total. I think it's going to be closer to 4 years, $78 million. It's a little bit closer to that 20 million mark. Also, I will note that he had a 9.7 relative athletic score coming out of college. This is a very Goody style athlete. Milton Williams, 26 years old in April, prime of his career. The expected contract here, 3 years, $21 million per year. These are per PFF, their expectations. $63 million total, $37.5 million guaranteed. That one feels right to me. He was a 9.94 relative athletic score coming out of college. A very Goody style athlete. Are you guys ready for one last game before football season's over? It's maybe not the matchup everyone wanted, but there's still plenty of intrigue surrounding this game. Can KC three-peat? Can Saquon run his way to a Philly victory? Either way, you absolutely cannot miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. And here's the big thing. Prize Picks is giving away a free pick where Patrick Mahomes will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash. And that's not even all. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. If you think Luka or AD are going to ball out in their debuts with their new teams, make sure to get those picks in because Prize Picks is the best place to win real money all year long. This week, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes to get that one passing yard, Travis Kelce to have fewer than 61.5 receiving yards, and Devontae Smith to have more than 50.5 receiving yards. Just make sure you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. What we have to look at here, before we get into even the deeper scouting reports, is the fact that when it comes to these free agents, whether it's Khalil Mack, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, whether it's trading for Miles Garrett, Khalil Mack, whoever it might be, right? There are advantages and disadvantages. There's going to usually be a gap somewhere. And I am a broken record on this and I apologize for it. What I've talked about this entire time is that with Xavier McKinney, he hit everything. He was such a clear and obvious home run Green Bay Packer that hit everything that they were looking for, their greatest position of need, the height, weight, speed that they look for at the position, the perfect fit in Jeff Affley's defense, was still super young, already proved himself in the league, was a fantastic player. Like, he hit everything. Run defense, pass defense, he was all well-rounded, playmaker. Like, he literally checked every single box. There wasn't one thing where you're like, well, the contract's just going to be too much, or the position isn't right, or, well, he's a great pass defender, but he's not good in run defense, or he's a great run defender, but he's not great in pass defense, or he's a great safety, but he doesn't fit in Jeff Hafley's defense, or age, or athleticism, or any of it. There wasn't one thing that you could look at with Xavier McKinney. The closest thing would have been the contract, because it was a very high contract for a safety. Now, what they paid him was a significant contract for a safety, one of the top safety contracts in all of football. They gave him that. That was the closest thing to what would have potentially been an eliminator for Green Bay. Everything else, and not even that the money, the monetary amount, was close enough to make it that he was not a 1A perfect fit for Green Bay. With Khalil Mack, 34 years old. Everything else, position, run defense, pass defense, impact player, everything else he hits. 34 years old, he does not. Miles Garrett hits everything, but you're going to have to give up, you know, multiple first-round picks and the biggest contract in all of football on defense for his services. That probably is the eliminator. you know, we could go on and on. Devontae Adams, a little bit older, right? And obviously Green Bay already traded him away one time. There's something with everyone that is some sort of red flag slash maybe even red herring of like, I don't think Green Bay would go after him because of this, but I know Green Bay is going to go after multiple players. It's hard to tell who because there's not that 1A guy. With Josh Sweat, I think there's a couple things here. None of them are, by the way, like huge eliminators. He turns 28 in March. That's not quite the 24, 25, 26 range that Green Bay would love to live in, but it's not brutal either. We're not talking about a 32, 33, 34-year-old. He's just about to turn 28. He's 27 as we are speaking right now. So that's not overaged by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not 24, 25 either. The expected salary is going to be significant. You're talking probably 18 to 20 mil per year on at least a 3, if not a 4-year deal. And then the bigger question here is, are you getting the elite player? With Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, you were getting elite players. Is Josh Sweat that? I think the overall answer is probably not. You're getting a really, really good player, maybe even bordering on great. But you're probably not getting an all-pro, probably not getting a pro bowler. You're probably just getting a really, really good defensive end, and you're going to have to pay almost like you're getting a pro bowler, if not an all-pro player. That might be the eliminator for Josh Sweat. For Milton Williams, it's just flat-out run defense. He is a great pass rusher. He is young. He is hyper-athletic. He's a freak. He is coming off a, you know, Super Bowl contending team. He's playing at an incredibly high level, but his run defense is pretty hot garbagey. And that is the potential eliminator. He's not that well-rounded overall player. He's got the pass rush. If that's what Green Bay wants, or they think they can unlock a little bit more of his run defense, or maybe they just don't think it matters because they can put, maybe they bring back TJ Slayton and can put Clark and Slayton and some of those guys in there on more obvious rundowns. They're not worried about it. But to an extent, you know, you have three guys, not that you're necessarily basing a ton of this off of Colby Wooden, but Wooden, Brooks, and Wyatt, who are already more that three technique defensive tackle. Now you're adding in another guy like that. But maybe you're just going to say, screw it. I want Rashawn Gary and another edge rusher, whoever it might be, plus Devontae Wyatt and Milton Williams on the interior. And with that, I feel like I can win at a very high level from a pass rush standpoint. I don't even need Milton Williams in on defensive snaps. Maybe that's the case. But the potential eliminator here, the one reason why Milton Williams isn't the consensus number one player, especially with that pass rush prowess, is because of run defense. He's kind of a one-trick pony and somebody that is probably going to be in primarily on passing downs only, or at least that's probably going to be your preference because he's that bad of a run defender. Now let's get to the breakdowns from viewing the tape for both of these guys. For me, the Milton Williams eval is super simple. He's becoming a beyond dynamic pass rush defensive tackle, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. I thought really midway through this past season is when he really took off, and you could just see the light bulb come on. I don't say this lightly, and I want to tread carefully even with that caveat. Think of very early on, almost like rookie season Aaron Donald, okay? Not peak Aaron Donald, but sort of good to really good early on Aaron Donald, okay? Take away Donald's strength in run defense, right? Like the fact that he could play really good run defense as well, and just take the first step and the agility and the lateral quickness and the explosiveness, and it was kind of a little bit more raw and unrefined at that point. That version of Donald, if you took away the run defense, is, I think, what you're starting to see from Milton Williams. And one other thing I want to be clear on is I am in no way saying that he has another step to like get to that Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a one of one. He is a true, pure one of one. I'm just saying, like, if you take kind of the just beginning stages of Donald before he really hit the peak of his powers and was still disruptive as heck and just freaky athletic and could just kind of win with those traits, there is pieces of that with Milton Williams, just so quick and so disruptive and wins with immediacy. That is what you see from him on tape. The immediate wins are so important because it just blows up everything. It's basically just like the play is done. He's just there. And that's a massive problem. It happened against Green Bay the couple times that they played against Milton Williams this season. As I mentioned, he broke out as the season went along. The lateral quickness and agility just completely off the charts. very, very good hand quickness. His hands are very fast, sudden and explosive. Just can't stick with his movement skills inside. Like, offensive linemen are like, they're going to get out of their stance. They're going to get into the gap. And all of a sudden, Milton Williams is in an entirely different gap over. Like, you're watching the snap count, All of a sudden, you get your head up and you're expecting him to be somewhere. And now he's a gap over because of that lateral quickness and explosive ability off the line. And it's a problem. It is a major, major problem. He can play a little bit inside outside. So he's primarily a defensive tackle, but he absolutely can line up as a 4-3 defensive end from time to time as well. And he's just consistently disruptive. That's what you're going to get with Milton Williams. The downsides, just a really bad run defender, can't hold up against double teams, and is going to get washed out of the play. Even on some of the stretch plays, he's just getting pushed right down the line, creating these big cutback lanes. It's not a sight to behold. Or I guess it is if you want to see a bit of a train wreck at times. I do think there's more there to him. I would not be stunned if he got to a serviceable level of run defense at some point in his career. That point was certainly not 2024. And I would not bet on it if I were Green Bay. Now, the other thing here is he was a, you know, or I guess his primary breakout was midway through 2024 in a contract year. Sometimes defensive tackles have the ability to do that, where they turn it on, get that big contract, and then maybe coast sometimes. Was this a sign of things to come? A harbinger of what is going to be a unbelievable defensive tackle, and he's just starting to reach the peak of his powers, and you're going to get him in his prime? Or was there maybe a little bit of extra incentive and energy put into the second half of the season to go get that $20 million per year contract? I don't know. I don't think that's the case, but it's something you have to at least weigh out a little bit. As we talked about from a grading standpoint, now I would agree with it just based on tape. I don't always agree with PFF stuff. We're going to talk about that on Josh Sweat in just a moment. 91.0 pass rush grade for PFF, 41.7 run defense grade, a difference of almost 50 points. Elite, elite pass rush, well below average run defense. The other thing, as much as he is a dynamic pass rusher, in four seasons, he has 14 sacks. 14 sacks per PFF in four seasons. Not a ton of production for a $20 million per year pass rusher who is bad at run defense. The most snaps he's ever played in his career has been this year so far with 628. He's just a one-dimensional player that you don't want on the field on rundowns who is going to be a freak, an explosive disruptor as a pass rusher. That's what you're getting with Milton Williams. Josh Sweat, positives are abundant. They are aplenty. He's physical enough to set the edge. He's got multiple pass rush moves at his disposal, a rip, a stutter step, a jab step, a long arm, even tried a spin move. It wasn't a successful spin move, but at least it's in the repertoire. The closing burst to the football is fantastic. You can see that high relative athletic score pop out on tape. Great job getting his hands under pads and manipulating defender or offensive lineman in this case. Really, really great job of that. Play with his hand in the dirt or standing up. In fact, I think he's actually going to be better in a 4-3 with his hand in the dirt. I think he's a little bit better that way. Can play him a little bit inside, not a ton, but on some pass rush downs, can play him inside. He's got fantastic length, just long for days. Can get those hands up and bat some balls down as well. Slippery. You cannot block him with tight ends and running backs. He stays active and fights through blocks. Active, fast hands, aggressive hands. His ability to identify screens is present on tape. Quick, sudden movements. Very active and successful on twists and stunts. Wins with speed and power, gave Ronnie Stanley fits when they played the Ravens. Phenomenal athleticism. And here's the big one. Here's the thing that I really loved about Josh Sweat when I got to really dig into this. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty geeked up to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've started to use before a night out with drinks, and I'm super excited to tell you about it. It's a little something called pre-alcohol. And let me start by saying, if there's ever been a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it is with pre-alcohol. Now, ZBiotics pre-alcohol prebiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I'll be totally transparent with you. When I heard about this product, I thought it was too good to be true. It simply sounded like something that wouldn't actually work when you tried it. But last weekend, I had a big night out and early next morning, and I figured, what do I have to lose? I tried it and it was legit. With pre-alcohol, I can stay on track and not let winter travel and celebrations like Valentine's Day, the big game, or Mardi Gras throw me off my course. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund you your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. There are so many defensive linemen that get engaged and the offensive lineman engages with them and they lose that initial battle and it's just over. It's just done. Shut down. The defensive lineman is might as well just be stuck in mud or just teleport off the field at that point. That happens a lot. It happens a lot. Josh Sweat very, very, very rarely just gets beat and gets shut down. He keeps working. Keeps working, constant movement towards the quarterback or the running back, and continues to get there until the whistle blows. And that might not sound like a ton, but I cannot stress to you how much it is. When I'm going through and grading plays, right? More often than not, there's obviously some nuance to this, but if you hit your initial pass rush move, don't get any movement, and you're just stalemated, you're just stuck, it's going to be a negative grade. If you are going in, you get your initial move or your initial rush, get kind of stymied a little bit, but continue to make progress towards the quarterback, it probably is going to be closer to a neutral grade, sometimes potentially even a positive, depending on where things go from there. And then, of course, if you win your rep or get there or make a sack, whatever it might be, it's going to be a positive to a huge positive. But the difference between the defender who gets into their initial rush, is stymied, and then isn't able to do anything, is just basically beat, and the one that continues to work and work and work and get that defensive end back into the quarterback, that pocket starts to collapse and collapse and shrink and shrink. And the big thing here is, let's say you don't win that rep maybe, but you continue to kind of push that defensive end back a little bit. Without that, the other defensive end or tackle might get through and get that pressure, but because you lost, now there's that escape lane. And Josh Sweat very rarely loses, which is going to set up Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, the rest of the defensive line for success, because he is consistently at worst being a neutral player or breaking even and very rarely is losing those battles. The negatives, inconsistent run defense. Setting the edge is a little bit up and down, but he can definitely do it. Here's the big one, and this again goes to run defense. He gets sucked inside a lot. So he's a little bit of a, I don't know if I want to say gambler, but gets away from his assignment from time to time. It will get sucked inside and then the running back bounces it and it's a big gain. So when he's responsible for setting that edge on the outside, more than capable of doing it, but he's got to stay consistent with it. It can't get sucked inside. He's got to do his 1/11th and make sure that he takes care of that. That's kind of the big flaw in his game. He's not a coverage guy. You could drop him back into coverage just with his athleticism from time to time, but you do not want him to have to cover for anything more than a second or two because it's not going to go well. And he will struggle to hold up against double teams as well. That's something, even if it's a tackle and a tight end, something like that, that he doesn't hold up quite as well against that. He can do it against, one-on-one blocks in the run game, but once you get two guys on him, he struggles with that aspect of it. The big reason again here that you would go after either of these players is pressure. That's why you're looking at it. These are not, Josh Sweat's a solid run defender. He really is. This is not some huge net negative run defender, but you're going after to get him for the pressures, for the impact that he can make getting after the quarterback. Milton Williams, he is just a pressure guy. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Don't put him on the field when there's any sort of real chance of running the football. You don't want him out there. Both are very, very good players. Sweat impressed me a little bit more because he has more of a well-rounded game. But he's 28, still going to break the bank a little bit. Whereas Milton Williams, 26, unbelievable pass rusher, but cannot stop the run. That's what you're looking at. The verdict here, there's something about Williams I really like. I would be pretty excited if Green Bay picked him up. And actually, I did come away more impressed with Josh Sweat. I think both these guys are actually legitimate options for Green Bay. It's going to come down to the contract. The ages are good. The impact's good. Their positions of need. Again, you have a lot of check marks here for both of these guys. It's just, how much of a detractor is the run defense for Milton Williams? Do they think they can overcome that to some extent? Or maybe it doesn't matter as much. And then for Josh Sweat, 28 years old, Do they feel like if they sign him to a 3-4 year deal that they're going to be able to get the 3 years out of that, that they want to get out of that? I think those are going to be the big questions here, but it may not, again, have the big name cachet of a Khalil Mack or a Myles Garrett or someone like that. These two are very, very good players. Very good players. They would help Green Bay a lot and really help specifically when it comes to pass rushing on key downs. That's going to do it for me today. Let me know if you would like to see either Milton Williams or Josh Sweat as members, or I guess not members because they're not both going to be here, but if you'd like either of them to be members of the Green Bay Packers. And then if so, which one would you prefer? Would you prefer Milton Williams or Josh Sweat? One thing I'll add here is I do think Sweat in defensive end maybe makes a little bit more sense. I kind of feel better about Sweat, Gary, Clark, and Wyatt in that situation that I would about, you know, you kind of end up in a little bit more of a weird scenario where it's Gary, and then are you going LVN? Are you going Van Ness? Are you going Brenton Cox across from Gary? And then again, you're probably taking Clark off the field in your main pass rush situations there and going with Wyatt and Williams. I still feel great about Wyatt and Williams on the inside, but I think it actually makes a little bit more sense to prioritize the defensive end a little bit more based on where the state of the roster is right now for Green Bay, but I would certainly not be upset with either of these players. So let me know which one you'd like more, or if you're even interested in either of them. Love to hear from you guys. Hit me up in the messages. I will, of course, be back right here tomorrow. I believe it's going to be Chris Godwin Day. I believe that's where we're going to shoot for right now, but if we get breaking news or if something else happens, we could always pivot into another direction. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lloyd, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.